Welcome to the Shipping Podcast, a multi-fandom podcast for the shipper in you. Hosted by Shirazade, your friendly mod, OTP shipper and fandom old. This introduction is going to be a bit longer than usual. First of all, this is the 20th episode. How amazing is that? I wasn't sure this would work out, but while the podcast doesn't have a huge audience, I loved hearing about all these fandoms and ships that I mostly hadn't known before, and I'll keep going as long as that's the case. However, I will take a little hiatus because it's been kind of stressful releasing a new episode every 2 weeks, and I'm planning a vacation in September anyway. Right now, I'm planning to publish the next episode on October 11th. I hope you'll stick with me. But back to this episode. Because real life didn't cooperate, I had to find a new interview partner very last minute. Luckily, Stella Bisexual had contacted me after Xander's Ready episode, after recognizing my nickname from 15 years ago. See, I keep telling people it's useful not to switch online handles. She also offered herself as an interview partner, although I'm sure she didn't expect me to take her up on it only 2 days later. With Popslash, we're moving into dangerous waters. Real person fic is a contentious issue in fandom, as we already mentioned in the special episode on Patreon. But we only mention our stance on it, spoiler, it's positive, in passing, instead focusing on the ship of NSYNC's JC Chavez and Justin Timberlake. But what's a ship, you might ask? It's an abbreviation for relationship and can be used as a noun or verb. I ship Kirk / Spock, or my favorite ship is Spirk, meaning you would like to see Star Trek's Kirk and Spock as a couple. And in the latter case, you're using one of the popular ship names, smushing their names together in a way that can be cutesy or cringy, depending on your point of view. However, this podcast will be zero judgment, 100% squee, as fans talk about their ships, why they ship them, and which fanworks might make you ship them too. At the end, each guest will nominate the next fan to talk about their OTP that's one true pairing, i.e. the ship they love the most, creating a multi-ship, multi-fandom chain of interviews. Het, i.e. straight couples, / meaning same-sex pairings, fictional characters, or even real people. The only limit is the imagination. Does that sound like something you might enjoy? Please give it a listen and let me know what you think. The Shipping Cast is hosted on shippingcast.fandomish.net. That's fandomish.net, where you can find show notes and subscribe on various podcasting platforms. There's also a Tumblr at ShippingCast, a Twitter at shipping_cast, or you can email me on theshippingcast@fandomish.net, where you could also send me a recorded voice message for inclusion in a future show. I'm very open to questions and opinions about the ships we talk about or shipping in general, so please get in touch. I very much enjoy making this podcast, but I've had to start paying for pro accounts, so I set up a Patreon on patreon.com/shippingcast. In addition to the Ko-Fi and PayPal links, which you can find on shippingcast.fandomish.net/support. Would you like me to record some episodes that cover more general aspects of fandom instead of being limited to ships? One of the Patreon perks is special episodes, and you can even vote on the topics. A note in advance. As mentioned before, this podcast is a judgment-free zone. My guests are here to share what they love, not to defend themselves. We ship and let ship here, and any flames, i.e. hateful messages, will be used to roast marshmallows, to use old-school fandom lingo. This expression dates me, I know. I'm actually 38, and I've been writing fanfiction since I hit puberty. However, I only joined online fandom in 2001, which was also when I started writing fic in English. My native language is Swiss German, in case you're wondering, and I have the equivalent of an MA in Cultural Anthropology, Media Studies and German Literature. These days I work an admin job in the renewable energy sector, and I spend my free time consuming media in the form of books, movies, TV shows and podcasts. I find fandom fascinating, not just as a creative outlet in the form of writing, reading and gifting, but as a cultural phenomenon. I hope I'm not the only one who loves to hear people talk about their passions, and there's few things fans are more passionate about than their ships. The ship that we focus on in each episode is clearly stated in the title, so if you think that a ship will cause you distress or anger, please skip the episode. It's also quite likely that there'll be spoilers, so in the immortal words of River Song...
Spoilers.
As mentioned, RPF is not everyone's cup of tea, so please skip the episode if you're uncomfortable with the topic. Also, I feel I should warn you that we get sidetracked even more than normal, because Stella Bisexual and myself are two fandom olds who like to reminisce fondly about our fanish histories. And while doing so, we discovered, much to our surprise, that we shared more than one fandom, and we got way too excited about this. If that sort of thing amuses you, I've added one particular off-topic detour to the very end of the podcast. But before you skip ahead, listen to what Stella Bisexual has to say about JC and Justin.
I took a trip on a great big ship to a land across the sea. To a land across the sea, the sea, the sea, the sea, the sea.
Preparing for this was like going in a time machine. It was the funniest thing ever. But I'm ready. I'm as ready as I am.
And I didn't give you a lot of time, so...
But the thing is, like, so many of these links and everything are dead at this point.
Yeah.
So, like, a lot of this is going to be, I remember this fic that I can no longer find, you know, like, online.
Oh, yeah, that would be a problem, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But I found a lot. I actually found a lot. There's a lot of awesome people that put stuff on AO3, so.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Okay. Great. But before we get into the fandom part of things, Do you want to introduce yourself?
Oh my god. This is the first time I'm doing anything as my fandom self, so this feels kind of funny. Mm-hmm. My pseudonym is Stellar Bisexual. Formerly known as F_reality or fuck reality.
Okay.
That was my live journal name. And prior to that, I can't even remember. I was trying to dig up what name I might have been when I was in the fandom that we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
I can't remember because it was so goddamn long ago. But I've been Stellar Bisexual for a long time, for maybe about a decade now. And I did change my name on AO3 to Stellar Bisexual too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
and I've been in for a long time.
Just that it's on record, you were totally saving the podcast by agreeing to fill in when my planned interview partner unfortunately didn't have time. So I really appreciate it.
Oh my god, it's my pleasure. I'm
so and it was so funny. It really was so funny that you got in touch with me after the other podcast. I was like, oh, I remember your name.
Oh, weird. If you guys listened to Xander the Undead's episode about Reddy from It, I'm also like a super active member of that fandom right now. And I'm a big Reddy shipper, and that's how I know Xander the Undead. I was listening to Xander's episode and I thought, Shearsate, and I'm probably not pronouncing that correctly. I was like, that name looks so familiar. I'm like digging way back into my memory. I'm like, is that something from a fandom of yore? From my youth, because I'm
the early 2000s.
Yeah, and I looked you up, and I was like, oh my god, we were both in Pop Flash fandom.
Yes,
and
it's a great idea. It's really useful that I have never abandoned.
I know.
You know, it's kind of, yeah.
I know.
I mean,
that's why I always like yell. I feel like I'm the old lady like yelling at people on Tumblr when they change their names. I'm just like, people want to find you. They're not going to be able to find you.
Yes.
You know?
Says the person who cannot remember what her name was.
I know, but it's probably because the name was horrendous because I was in college and I made up a stupid name that I named up immediately.
I entered fandom already with my username, so
it's a great name, and the fact that I remembered it was you know what I mean. I was it's a very distinct pseudonym or whatever.
Yeah I really like yours too as well. Stellar Bisexual.
Thank you. I like it too. That's why I've stuck with it for so long.
Yeah,
it feels very me. It feels very I guess irreverent a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big weirdo and a goofball, as you'll probably see in the next hour. And we're talking about a very irreverent fandom today, I think.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah, so we've already established that that you're kind of a fandom old like me.
Oh, such a fandom old. I feel like your younger listeners are going to be like, what are they talking about? Like, so much of what we're going to talk about today. There she goes.
Yeah. Hi, doggy.
That's my dog. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway. So what's your fandom background?
Oh, my God.
Like, just, you know, you don't have to mention everything, because I guess it's quite a lot.
I'll do it very broadly. And, like, the thing is, I'm a very, like, fandom monogamous person. Mm-hmm. I'm only, like, a one fandom at a time kind of gal.
Oh.
Yeah, one fandom at a time. Well, and I will, like, stay in my one fandom for, like, many years before moving.
Oh, okay.
You know? So I've been in fandom since I was in high school, probably. Mm-hmm. Early high school, which was, like, what was it, 20 years ago? Like, more than 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I've only had, really, like, a few fandoms. Because I'm so dedicated whenever I'm in a fandom. I'd say the first fandom I was in was probably, you know what? It predates high school. In junior high, this mm-hmm. was when, like, so when I was in junior high, it was like mid-90s. And the X-Files was on for the first incarnation of the X-Files. Mm-hmm. And my best friend was super into Mulder Scully.
Mm-hmm.
And she had, like, a poster of David Duchovny.
The OG shippers.
OG shippers, exactly. She was part of, this is going to date me so much. She was part of a mailing list that was, like, an X-Files fanfic mailing list.
You know, you just, this is the first time that I feel understood. It's like, this is my experience.
It was so old school. Like, this was like in the days of dial up. Like, not everybody had internet, but my dad, like, was very into computer science. He taught mm-hmm. computer science. So we were always, like, pretty, you know, up on everything. So mm-hmm. we had a computer room, like a special room where the computer was. And I would go onto the computer, the one computer, and I would do dial up and I would check my email. And it was AOL email. And,
all the Americans had AOL.
Yeah, my AOL.com email, and my best friend would forward me, like, the mailing list fan fiction, and it would, like, I feel like I remember the fic would be, like, in the body of the email.
Oh yeah, definitely. I've written fic like that. Yeah,
and it was great, and I feel like it was a great introduction, because I feel like the X-Files writers were very advanced. It was older writers, so they were really mm-hmm. good, and it was a beautiful introduction. And there, I mean, it's such a great pairing, obviously, but
yeah,
so that was really my first introduction, and I was like, this is so cool, mm-hmm. we're doing this. And then, you know, I was sort of like dipping my toe in here and there. I wasn't writing at that time. I didn't really mm-hmm. write until oh my God, this is, I've got to say this because mm-hmm. I feel like you'll be too curious if I move on without saying this. I think the first fan fiction I probably wrote was self-insert fic.
Oh, yeah.
With the same best friend, the same one. We were big Hanson fans when we mm-hmm. were like 14 mm-hmm. and we wrote self-insert fic pairing ourselves with the Hanson boys.
Yeah. Yep, I mean, not Hanson's, but and I didn't have a friend to share it with, but I still have somewhere in my basement, there's notebooks with me with handwritten in German, because my English wasn't very good yet at that time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, stories about me and the Backstreet Boys.
Yes!
And yes. Star Trek.
Yes.
And my so-called life.
Yeah. Oh my God. My so-called life. What did you, who did you pair yourself with?
Jordan Catalano.
Catalano, of course. Yeah.
Duh.
Sidebar, I don't know if you've watched My So-Called Life since you've gotten older, but
that was the very first DVD set I ever bought.
Oh, it's so good. But when I watch it now, I feel so differently mm-hmm. than I did when it was first on, mm-hmm. especially about Jordan.
Yeah.
Like when you're younger, I feel like you see Jordan the way that Angela does,
oh, yeah.
which is, you know, he's on a pedestal. He's so cool. He's so beautiful, which he is. But like, yeah. watch it as an older woman and you're like, oh my God, he's a giant fucking tool. And like, you know, and he obviously like doesn't really give a shit about her. And she's just like projecting all this shit onto him the way that we did when we were like 14, you know?
I mean, he does care for her, but you know, it's like,
I'm exaggerating,
but yeah, he's a douche.
He is, like, and she's putting way more meaning into it, I'll
say. But you know, she's what, 16? Yeah, that's exactly the age when you do that sort of thing,
right? But it's funny how like when you're watching it at that age, you're fully like in it with her, and then
yeah.
when you're older and you're like, oh yeah,
I ID'd so hard with Angela. It was like, yeah,
oh. Yeah. Oh my God, she was awesome.
but yeah,
way off. But yeah. So I started. I was in my favorite show in high school was Roswell. Mm. That was like Roswell.
I'm sorry. I'm just laughing because literally my very first fanfic in English, Roswell.
What? No. Oh my God, maybe we like crossed, maybe we overlap like more fandoms than I realize. And maybe that's why I saw you everywhere.
It was on one of those message boards.
Yes, I remember the message boards. Oh my
like,
God.
There's different boards for every ship, you know, like Dreamers yes. and what were they called? Polaris and.
That's right. Yeah. Oh my God, I loved Roswell. There was that main website was called the Crashdown Cafe.
Oh yeah, I remember.
They had like all the full videos, like the full episodes on there that you could download and watch. Yeah. Oh my God, I loved Roswell, and I was like, I loved every pairing. That show was
okay.
Shippable. I just felt like everybody was shippable on mm-hmm. that show. I mean, I was really into Max Michael. That was like my big ship. Yeah, it was. I was really into that. And any ship with Katherine Heigl, because I had like the biggest crush on her back in the day. Katherine Heigl was like, oh my God, like she could do no wrong in my life.
See, well, I completely identified with Liz, so you know.
She's such a great character, and I feel like I didn't appreciate her as much as I do now. Yeah. Back then, she's so great. But yeah, and then you know, just like slowly but surely, getting more and more involved mm-hmm. and. But I think this fandom that we're going to talk about today is the first fandom where I actually wrote like and published online, which was in college.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and I've been writing ever since. So it's been like, it's been at least 15 years.
Oh, yeah. So do you usually multi-ship or?
Do I usually multi-ship? No. Usually like I'm very monogamous in mm-hmm. my fandom. And I'll usually have like a main like OTP and then I'll kind of like dabble mm-hmm. in like side ships. Like I usually will just keep them as like a, you know, like a secondary pairing in the fic, like a background pairing mm-hmm. or a side pairing. Although in my current fandom, I've been trying to like write more of my other ships.
And so that's like, it. Mm-hmm. Is that your current
that's
one?
It.
Yeah.
Yes.
Great. And so have you written mostly slash or
I'm trying to think, like, are there any hetero pairings? No, not really. Although in It fandom it has one of the best hetero pairings mm-hmm. like all time. It's Ben and Beverly. And they do become canon, mm-hmm. at least in the book, from what I remember. They definitely become canon in the miniseries. And we'll see if they become canon.
Yeah.
When the next movie comes out in like a week and a half.
Oh, okay. So it's a big moment for you guys.
It's big. It's a very big deal right now. There's a lot happening right now. Sorry, my dog is like in my lap right now. She said that I'm paying attention to somebody else. She's like, this is bullshit. So, that is really the only hetero pairing I've ever cared about, okay, apart from Mulder and Scully. I like to tag anything with Ben and Beverly on Tumblr as the only het pairing that matters.
Okay.
And I don't actually feel that way. Mm-hmm. I just feel like, I don't know. We're all just like so immersed in het pairings, mm-hmm, like media-wise, our whole lives. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm just like tired of it.
Yeah.
I just wanted something different. So, mostly slap.
And maybe this is the moment where we should address the big thing, the elephant in the room, namely that we are talking today about our very first real person ship.
So this is your first episode with RPS?
Yeah, I mean, we had a special episode on Patreon where we kind of went, because I was at a convention and we kind of talked about, you know, because we liked the relationship of the actors and we liked the relationship of their characters, how that kind of influences each other, you know, one another and stuff. But I haven't had like an official podcast episode about a real person pairing yet.
Oh my God, I feel so honored and scared and like a little bit scared.
No, this is a judgment-free zone.
I know, but Tumblr is not, you know? It's really not. And I feel like, I mean, RPF has always been like kind of a polarizing topic. And people who are very anti-RPF are like very vocally anti-RPF. It gets a bad rap, like, for good reason. Which we can go into momentarily. But I think particularly I'm in, like, a younger fandom right now. And most of the people in that fandom are, like, super vocally anti-RPF. And I get it, because I think their only experience of it has been these shippers who, like, approach the actors and, like, them like, are you fucking your colleague, basically?
And I mean, and also, no, like, I mean, in the mean, I know in the 2017, it, you know, the one that I talked about with Xander, they're really young. Yeah. I mean, they're kids, the actors.
That's so young.
So that would be really weird.
That's weird. Yeah. And I just like, yeah, if you particularly like, if you're a person like of age and you're shipping two actors who are like 14, like maybe like look at your choices. But like, I feel like in general, like my theory about RPF, I'm going to keep this really brief because I could talk about this forever. But like, I see a very clear difference between like the actors as people and then the actors like that I'm shipping. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It is like a character, you know? And most actors sort of, they have like their public persona and then they have, you know, who they are as a person, that private person. And there's a very distinct line between those two things.
Which we like to call the fourth wall.
Exactly. And in my, I think it's totally fine, like in my head to think about like, oh my God, like, you know, that would be hot. That would be interesting. Mm-hmm. That would be whatever. And wouldn't it be amazing if ... But I don't bring that into like, I don't break the fourth wall, as you said. And I think that's really inappropriate. I'm an actor myself. So I definitely like someone if someone ever like, you know, I am not known by like anybody, like no one's seen most of the stuff I've been in, but like, if someday, you know, like I'm in the public eye and people are shipping me with my co-star, like,
just
tell me, because it's kind of weird. I'm just like, oh, that's my friend and my colleague. Yeah. Like, that's weird.
I kind of think it, you know, back in Pop/Slash days that we're going to talk about, it was kind of easier to keep, to make the distinction because there was no social media. So really, we did not know anything about these people except for like magazine articles.
Right. You know? Yeah.
That was very clear. Magazine articles it's their public, you know, the way they present themselves. And with Twitter and Instagram and whatever, you get, you, I think it's much easier for the lines to get blurred, that you get the feeling, oh, I know who this person is, like, in private life.
Totally. And like, it's totally fine for me to like, for there to not be that boundary and for me to reach out to them. Like, it's totally fine. Like, I don't know, like, this person is just, should be just as comfortable with me as I am with them, because I feel like I know them, which, like, you're a stranger to them.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So, you're absolutely right.
But yeah, so, we are going to talk about Pop Slash.
Yeah.
And, to be precise about, NSYNC.
Yeah.
Which was not my main area of Pop Slash, but I dabbled.
As we all did, yeah. You know, it was just like a glorious stew of like all the boy bands and all the pop stars.
Exactly, which is why, you know, it's why we all called it Pop Slash and not just I'm in Backstreet Boys fandom or something.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but it's so funny. I stumbled across it on fanfiction.net. Because, you know, before they banned RPF.
That's right. I forgot that they did.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just, because, you know, I'd always written the self-insert stuff. It didn't really faze me at all.
Yeah.
How did you come to it?
It's a great question. I think with NSYNC, like NSYNC was a huge part of my high school experience. Because they came on the scene when I was like a sophomore in college. Oh my God, my best friend from junior high that I mentioned before, she's like this common thread in my life. I need to like reach out to her because we haven't been in touch in a long time. She and I remember we took a trip to see my family in Florida, they're near Orlando, and they were playing on the Disney Channel, and NSYNC did like this concert live at Disney, it was around the time that I Want You Back came out, like their first American hit. And I can't remember if like their first album was out yet, but it was our first time seeing them. And we were like, who are these guys? You know, we were 14 and just like in the hotel. Oh my God. You know, like freaking out and being hormonal and loving Justin Timberlake and JC and just, you know, being 14. It was great. And we were both, I think we were both just very inclined to look for gay subtext, like even at 14, you know? So every little bit of like NSYNC media that came out, you know, the music videos, the interviews on MTV, all the appearances that they did in the late 90s, we were always like, oh my God, I think JC and Justin are in love with each other, you know? even when he was dating Britney Spears, we would just be like, nope, he's in love with JC. That's happening here. They can't be together. It's so scandalous. I think for years and years I was sort of building up this like this gay subtext between James and Justin like for years, and then I was in college, and I think I was I a junior in college? I was a junior in college, or it was the summer before my junior year, and I had like a couple of weeks off before going back to school, and I was remembering Roswell fan fiction. And I thought to myself, I wonder if anyone's written fan fiction about Jason and Justin. And I'd never even looked for it. I never knew RPF existed at this point. And I think I hadn't really poked around fandom for like a couple of years. So can you imagine? Like, this is like 2003, 2004. And I'm like, and this was like the fandom had already reached its peak and it was sort of it was about to be like on the decline. Justin had his solo career, etc., etc. There wasn't really like NSYNC content coming out anymore. But this is me like about to be a junior in college, and I'm in my childhood bedroom like the summer before going back to school, and I'm looking up JC and Justin, and it's like a deluge of deluge, and I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah, and they were not insanely popular.
They really were. And also like kind of a hated pairing because they were popular and because I think people just hated on it because they were like, oh, you know, you pick the two like lead singers and just because you think they're both pretty. And that's not the only reason, you know. This is so funny. When I discovered fan fiction mm-hmm. about the two of them and that there were like reams and reams of it mm-hmm. online, I literally did not sleep for 72 what? Hours or something like that because I was just literally sitting in front of my laptop in Hoeing and Sync Fic for like 72 hours straight.
Wow.
Talk about it. And I remember like emerging from my bedroom, like not having slept, like my eyes are bloodshot. I'm just like a crusty human being. And my mom, like, what's wrong with you? I think she thought I was high or something. Like it was really something else. I'll never forget that. But like it was addictive because you come into a fandom late and it's like, oh my god, I have so much to read, you know?
Yeah. I just checked my AO3. I wrote most of my Pop Slash in 2002.
Oh yeah. Yeah, so I was coming in like right after I feel like it was peaking like 2000 mm-hmm. to 2002, and then 2003, 2004, it was kind of like starting to peter off. But people were still writing. Yeah. People were still active. Yeah. It was a glorious thing to discover. And then I came back, I went back to school, and I like dragged all of my friends kicking and screaming into it with me. As you do, you know.
I mean, when I read and Sync Fic, it was mostly JC and Justin for some reason.
Yeah, it was JC, Justin, and then another huge pairing was Joey and Lance.
Oh yeah, I also really liked that because I Lance was my favorite.
Aww, I love Lance. I love all of them. I really do. I do, and I love what I love about that fandom. And my fandom after that was mm-hmm. Lord of the Rings.
Oh, hi. RPF. Yeah.
What I love about both of those fandoms is that you have a pairing, but then you also have like this built-in like ensemble of people to like put in the fix.
And come on, Lotrip's fandom was the best.
It was the best.
Still the best cast ever.
Still the best. Yeah. Just they took everything in stride. They had such a good attitude about it, and like they were so fun and delightful.
Yeah,
I love that fandom. And
just
that was
out of curiosity, which part were you in?
Which pairing?
Which yeah, like
Monoboid. That was my big pairing.
Mine too. Oh my god.
Okay, I probably will come across you.
I don't know. Do you remember the website monoboid.net?
Yes, I do.
That's me.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Crazy. This is crazy. Oh, we should have talked about Monoboid. Shit.
Yeah, we should have talked about Monoboid. I know that would probably just be the two of us going like, oh my god, they're so awesome. They're best friends forever.
Oh my god! Yeah. I loved Monoboid, and I was probably my longest fandom. I was in that fandom for a long time. Yeah,
yeah, and because at the same time I also had Merry and Pippin, so you know it was both.
Yes, exactly. It was that fandom was great for like what you said before about like how the relationship between the actors informs how you feel about mm-hmm. the relationship between the characters and vice versa. Like,
Well, it was funny. Billy's my favorite actor, but Mary's my favorite hobbit.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, but because I'd read the book before, you know, like way before the new movies came out, and I just always really liked Mary.
Right.
Because he's smart and not as stupid as, he's not as silly as Pippin.
Right. But then Billy is like such a, oh my god, he's such a love. He's like the best.
And those gorgeous green eyes. And
yes.
The Scottish accent. And
And he's just such a kind, he seems like such a kind person.
Yes.
Oh my God, Monoboid. We'll have to talk offline about that way more.
Monoboid, yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. But yeah, JC and Justin, also a very great pairing. So you pretty much liked them from the start.
I was super into the two of them, and I was very much an NSYNC girl, like, mm-hmm. you know. And again, like, in hindsight, I appreciate Backstreet more, like, looking back on it. Mm-hmm. I don't appreciate them more than NSYNC. Let's just to be clear. I have to I have to, like, make my devotion and my loyalty mm-hmm. clear. But I appreciate Backstreet more now as an adult than I did back then. I feel like back then I was very like, they're in competition with NSYNC.
Oh, so okay.
I felt the same way. Like, I'm a huge Janet Jackson fan. And mm-hmm. like, I felt the same way about Mariah Carey, because I felt like she was competition for Janet. And now as an adult, I'm like, Mariah's fantastic. Like, anyway, yeah. Justin, yeah. All the way.
So did you start writing immediately after you discovered fan fiction?
I think I probably spent like several weeks catching up reading, and then, I started writing, and, I think I probably like didn't even, I was thinking about whether or not I could like dig up those old fics, and I think I just like let them go, mm-hmm. you know, I think they're no longer online.
Okay.
They were in preparation for this call, mm-hmm. I pulled up. You have no idea. I pulled up. I was like digging through my old emails, and I was like, "Anything? Like, I must have sent a bunch of links to somebody at some point, like just to try to convert them." Of course, I did. Like, I found an email like right away with all these links, but mm-hmm. like most of them are dead. You know?
Yeah.
I was in. There was that main JC Justin / archive, and I was. I think like in there.
Oh, okay, and that no longer exists.
No, yeah. I mean, angelfire.com site.
Oh, like, yeah. Yeah, it went the way of GeoCities and Tripod and, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yep, exactly. So I feel like they disappeared, and I had them on a backup on, like, a floppy disk or something.
Yeah.
That, like, went defunct, and I was like, I'm not going to try to retrieve this. Mm-hmm. This fic was terrible. Like, it was my first fic. It was so bad. It was a lot of song fic.
Oh yeah, that was very popular, obviously.
Yeah, you know, Digital Get Down, like all that stuff. Yeah. So mm-hmm. I wrote like maybe a few fics for them, but I mm-hmm. feel like I was still mainly a reader just because there was so much.
Yeah.
And I was also in college, so I mm-hmm. didn't have like a ton of time to be writing it. Clearly I made the time to like stay up 72 hours and look like I was high out of my mind.
Did you find like a community for it online?
Well, you know, I feel like, was LiveJournal around? But yeah, that was when I first went on LiveJournal too.
Okay.
Because I feel like there was a lot of stuff on LiveJournal. I found a little bit of a community, but again, it was like kind of on the decline. Mm-hmm. So they were still doing the Secret Santa challenges at that time. And I don't think I participated, no. But I, like, would just kind of, I lurked. I think I was, again, like, a little shy about interacting with people. And there just wasn't as many, there weren't as many modes for interaction as mm-hmm. there is now. So, yeah, not too much.
I have mine... back on Yahoo groups. Some mailing lists.
Yes. I'm trying. You know what? I think you're jogging my memory. I might have been like part of a mailing list.
Yeah.
There might have been a Justin mailing list.
Because that was literally the first time that I found real community. It's like because I became part of this little like writers group.
Oh, that's great.
And it was so helpful because there were like a bunch of older people in it. I mean, I was like 21 or something. So I wasn't really young, but, you know, they were like proper.
Around the same age, like, yeah.
They were proper grown-ups and they'd been writing forever. And they, you know, so it was, I felt that was very, I mean, it was really cool to have that.
Yeah.
Kind of helped me feel more comfortable in online spaces.
Yeah. That's very cool. I wish I had, again, like I definitely like dragged all my real world friends.
Ah, okay.
But they didn't, I mean, you know, they weren't like fandom people. Mm-hmm. They were just like, all right, I'll read this fic.
Okay.
Because you told me. Like that kind of thing. So yeah.
And what type of content was most popular? Like we already mentioned song fic and...
So much song fic. I remember, and again, like this is an old fandom and a lot of the content is no longer online. So preparing for this call, like there's a lot of like, a lot of this is in my memory.
Yeah.
I remember a lot of what they used to call wing fic, where Justin was an angel and had wings. That was awesome. And there was also, I mean, there was a ton of like tour, like on tour, like tour bus fic. I'm sure there was for Backstreet as well.
I've also written my fair share.
Yeah, no, it's just like great. It's great fodder for fic.
It's, you know, basically like the equivalent of, and there was only one bed.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of tour bus fic and wonderful AUs. I feel like with JC and Justin, and maybe just like, I don't know, like I think Justin lends himself to like hooker AUs. Like, the way that, like, you know what I mean? Like the image that they put
like the skinny little twink.
Exactly. And there were all of these, like, you know, like if you've seen like the Tearing Up My Heart video, like he's in a tank top, like on the bed by himself, like, you know, and there was this photo shoot that they did where they were literally like, they put like glitter on them and stuff, like this. And it was great. I have to find it. It's just Justin like with glittery eyes, like, and like his pouty lips, you know, and 5,000 hooker AUs were
obviously.
So yeah, there were a lot of hooker AUs. There was a lot of, I was really into, like, there was a lot of really dark, like, really well written.
Okay.
Where, like, it was like the dark, seedy underbelly of the pop music world, like, kind of stuff, where, like, they were all, like, on drugs and shit. And, like,
okay.
Like, JC was addicted to cocaine and, like, sleeping with hookers that looked like Justin, like, that kind of thing. Which makes it sound absurd, but, like, it was really well written. Was there
controversy about that sort of thing, or
no? I mean, not within the fandom. And I feel like the great thing again about that time is that on Tumblr, I feel like you can, all the fandoms are kind of like coexisting, and I feel like back in the day it was very siloed.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so I feel like people that were very anti RPF would just like stay in their lane and be like, I'm not like touching that. You
and
know?
Even if there were like just for one specific ship, they could just go to the archive for that one specific fic, and they didn't have to look at anything else.
Right, exactly.
Actually, because while we were talking, I realized my NSYNC OTP was not Justin and JC; it was JC and Lance.
JC and Lance, that was such a great pairing.
I just remembered. Yeah. You see, it was never like a true OTP. Not like Howard and AJ.
Yes. I look at your AO3 stuff, and I was like going all the way back and looking at your Backstreet. I was like, oh, she likes Howie and AJ. Yeah.
Yeah, and a little bit Howie and Nick.
Okay, a little bit Howie and Nick. Did you ever, I remember it was the only thing that was like kind of controversial, I feel, was when like Aaron Carter started.
Yeah.
Like,
because he was really young.
Super young at that time. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was weird. I was like, what's
yeah. That? And I mean, I only started with the Howie Nick, admittedly, you know, when Nick was definitely no longer the baby faced, you know, like.
Right.
He was like at least 18.
Same with Justin, because Justin was like, I can't believe Justin was like 15 when NSYNC first came out. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, Nick was the same, wasn't he? It was so,
yeah. Yeah, they were about the same age. Yeah. That's so young to be doing that, you know? Same with Britney Spears. It's just crazy.
Yeah, so, but yeah, but like I said, I started shipping the grown-ups in the band first.
Yes, yes, yeah. I didn't come into that until Justin was probably like in his early 20s at that time. I mean, he's a couple years older than me.
Yeah.
So
I can't remember their names, their birthdays and stuff anymore. All of that was at some point stored in my mind for fic purposes.
Oh, same. Totally. Yeah.
It's all gone poof.
Same with Monoboid. I had so many like details about their lives, and now I don't know where all that went.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, so, but do you have, like, you know, if it's like a fictional ship, I usually ask about favorite moments, but maybe you have favorite moments for JC and Justin.
Oh, I've got them. Okay. I've got them. That was like what I was most excited to sort of for today. So again, I have to like just talk. I have to be an old lady for a second and just talk about like how difficult it was for us like back in the day. Because you had no city sites. This was pre-YouTube.
Yes.
So like any of those with NSYNC and like RPF, there were all of these like legendary moments that you would like hear about that maybe you hadn't seen before because you didn't get to watch it live. And the video was not really available online.
Yeah.
So I would spend hours like trying to dig up these videos, like just searching through all these sites. And some people would like, they would clearly like record it on VHS, like off of their TV, and then like upload it online. And it was like the worst quality. It was wonderful. Like it was just the best.
The MVPs. And,
yes. And then you would go on the website, the link was frozen.
Seriously, I have a drawer where in the back corner there's some VHS tapes that someone from America sent me, full with Backstreet Boys stuff.
Yes! Yes! My best friend who's from high school, who's like still my best friend today, she has interviews with NSYNC. She's got like interviews with Leonardo DiCaprio, like off of TV, like from the late 90s. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just the best. But it was just, so finding those, like, those moments was actually really difficult. And it was like, I don't know, like it was like a treasure hunt trying to find these like, video of these little moments. And when you would find one, it would be like so satisfying.
Yeah. Because you're like, I've only ever read about that in fic.
Exactly. Yeah. I have to say, like, I do really enjoy, or I did really enjoy fic that was like built around, you know, like an interview or something that actually happened. And then the fic would like go into like what was actually happening at that time. My best friend from high school, who also, I mean, she's not really a fandom person, but like she definitely ships, you know what I mean? She definitely shipped JC and Justin. She likes to say that the NSYNC Christmas album is basically JC and Justin just celebrating each other, like for which is kind of true. I mean, so they're like co-lead singers, so they're always harmonizing with each other, they're always like kind of riffing off of each other. So it does feel like they're singing to each other sometimes. My favorite JC Justin moment is, you can find it on YouTube. They did a live performance. They did this holiday special called, I guess, like the Christmas, like really brought out the love in JC and Justin. But they did this thing called the Intimate Holiday Special, with just an N, like Intimate starts with just an N, like NSYNC. And the Intimate Holiday Special. And they performed this song called I'll Be Good For You. And it's a good song. They're great because they're amazing live. And they are literally, like, JC and Justin are literally making eyes at each other the entire time. Like, I am not reading into this. I am not making this up. Any human being watching this would be like, are those two, like, what is happening right now? Like, two of them are about to, like, go off and make out somewhere. So that is, like, that's got to be, like, in the top, you know, top five or something. There's also like an old, God, I don't remember where it was from, but there was an old interview or like a clip of all of them on the tour bus. And it's just like a little, who was it? Was it Joey that used to, he had like a little camcorder. So he was always like recording mm-hmm. behind the scenes kind of stuff, which was, oh, again, like treasure trove of like little moments and stuff. And they released a bunch of it. I forget what the, I used to have it on DVD and I forget what the name of it was, but they had like a little collection of it. But there was this one moment where they're on the tour bus and I think like Justin puts his head on JC's aww. Shoulder and he says, "We really do look like a couple." and everybody
yeah,
went,
I can no. imagine.
Crazy.
Because, you know, one has to keep in mind that was like long before like stuff like bromance became a thing in
right?
pop culture.
Right. Exactly. These are like, you know, the formative moments, you know, that led to yeah. what we have today. But yeah, I mean, I feel like those are two really big moments. And they're best friends, mm-hmm. or at least they were. Time and they were just always you know complimenting each other in public mm-hmm. in interviews, etc. Oh, there's a Justin JC moment in their first video, in the I Want You Back video. It's very brief. It's very brief. It's toward the end of the video. I can't believe I'm saying like this is how nerdy I am, like everyone how nerdy I am, because I can just like conjure this up mm-hmm. in my memory. So toward the end of the video, it's I'm gonna have to sing it. So like there's this part at the end of the song where they keep going like, "You're the one I yeah. want. You're the one I yeah. need." And, yeah, all right, we know what it is. I think like Justin is looking at JC while he's singing it, and then JC realizes he's looking at him. And like kind of turns to him playfully, like, "What do you look at?" kind of thing. And then like Justin kind of nods. It's like the aww. Cutest thing I've ever seen. You gotta just like rewatch the mm-hmm. I Want You Back video. Just that little moment toward the end. It's lovely. It's great. Also, they would also do, God, it's all coming back to me now, in the words of Celine Dion, but like I feel like they would, they did those, what were those celebrity basketball games?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All for charity and stuff.
Yeah. Yes. And I feel like JC and Justin would always do it. And mm-hmm. good moments in there too. But yeah, I think the I'll Be Good For You, that performance mm-hmm. is like seminal JC Justin content. Yeah.
And I guess it probably has the advantage over like the I Want You Back video, that Justin is a tiny bit older.
Yes.
Because he was such yes. a baby back then.
Such a baby in those videos. Also, JC and Justin, I should mention, they knew each other from the Mickey Mouse
yes,
Club.
Yes, I remember from fan fiction.
Yeah, and there was always this like dynamic of like Justin looking up to JC from mm-hmm. when he was like a kid, mm-hmm. you know, and like they grew up together, and then they were, you know, in love.
Yeah,
there's yeah, it's a great pairing. I love it.
So, do you have anything else you desperately want to share about this pairing before we move on to the Rex? What you were able okay. to dig out.
Do I want to share anything else? I don't think so. I don't think so. I just, yeah, I feel like that's good.
Yeah.
That's good enough.
Great. So yeah, you had to dig deep into the archives of the internet for this one.
I sure did.
So what did you find?
Oh my God. So like I said, I dug up this really old email mm-hmm. that I sent to a friend of a friend back in 2006. Mm-hmm. And this was when I was like not really in this fandom anymore. But I still had all of these links. Do you remember Delicious?
Yes, of course. I still mourn Delicious because it aged all my recommendations from like 2007 to 2015.
Right. I had like all of my Monoboid links on there and like everything.
Yep.
And I had all my Jackson links on there. So some of these links are no longer in existence, but I was able to find some of the authors that I really, really liked. My favorite, I think my favorite author was Zaen, Z-A-E-N. Mm-hmm. I think they're on AO3 under a different name, but I don't think these particular fics are on there. They used to write these all dialogue fics that I loved. Like they were so well written, and you could feel it was amazing because it was just dialogue, but you could feel the sexual tension and like the in between lines, like what was happening without even having to say it. They wrote these two all dialogue fics. One was called Tour Bus. The other was called Hum. And they were just, they were beautifully written. I found that link, but the link is dead. I'm going to try to find that somewhere.
Maybe it works with Web Archive.
Yeah.
With the Wayback Machine.
I'm going to have to do that.
Because I know that my parts of my old tripod site are still accessible via the Wayback Machine.
Oh my God, that's frightening. I really hope that my Hansen self-insert fic is not available.
Yeah, it only works if you have the link. I mean, you know.
I don't think I have the link anymore. This is a very long time ago. let me see. So Zaen was like one of my favorite. I'm sure you remember Matthew Haldeman Time.
Oh yes, of course I do. Oh yeah. My God, so good.
So this was a writer. This was a joy because they used to write these huge ensemble fics where like all of the boy band members like in very soapy like kind of stories where you know they're all in relationships with each other. It was a delight. Like those fics were such a delight. And then they also wrote like some, you know, individual pairing stories, but it was I remember best like those big ensemble kind of stories. And then let me see what I dug up. So one of my favorite fics of all time is there's this fic called Remember by J-A-E, and it's on AO3.
Oh.
I found it. I am very excited to reread this. but I fondly remember this fic. It was published in 2001. So basically, Justin, I think he has his 21st birthday in it. Or let me think. It must have been his 20th birthday because it was 2001. But
He's exactly my age then.
Yeah, he was born in 81. Yeah. He gets really like the boys get him drunk like the night of his birthday, and all the fic is like them waking up in the morning hungover, he's super hungover because he got really drunk, and they're all like, and all the rest of the boys remember everything that happened, and they're just like kind of teasing him, and like they're piecing it together like for him as the fic goes on. And the night before, I don't want to spoil it, but like obviously like something happened between the night before, and JC is not awake yet for most of the fic. Like the rest of the boys are just teasing him. And basically, Justin came out as bisexual the night before in the most hilarious way I've ever read. really funny. Like, his coming out is so funny. And Lance is actually the one who reenacts it, which is really funny. And then toward the end of the fic, JC finally wakes up and he's like, hey, you know. And then, like, he sort of jogs Justin's memory about what happened between them the night before. And it's, like, very... very, very cute. That was a really fun one. I was really into like the humor ones. I still am. Like, I love a crack fic, man. Like, I really do. So Remember by Jay, that's a really, really good one. Those all dialogue fics. Zaen does have. I'm just looking at Zion's AO3, but they didn't publish those all dialogue fics. They have some of the other ones. So again, like my memory is so hazy and so many, like my links are gone, mm-hmm. like to specific
stories. Yeah.
But I'm just going to like shout out a couple of titles. I don't remember what these stories are about, but I remember them being mm-hmm. good. and they're still on AO3. So there's a couple by Kaylee. So Kaylie. Mm-hmm. And The Way You Know Him, which is a very long fic. It's over 100,000 words. It's actually 200,000 words.
Wow.
And then Beneath an Eastern Moon, which I remember, I think, being an AU. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So these were, yeah, that was what I managed to dig up for the most part.
So yeah, so you have to, really, you're going to have to send me the links.
Probably, yeah. I had two other authors that I really mm-hmm. liked. One was Gail, and that person wrote a lot of the wing fic, mm-hmm. being an angel. And then Reese, R-H-Y-S, who I believe I found on AO3. Mm-hmm. I love a lot of what they've written.
Yeah.
And it looks like all of their fic is on AO3, which is amazing. What's sad is that it has like no kudos because this fic is from 2001.
Yeah.
And it's,
you know. Yeah. Well, it's really funny though. I still get comments and kudos sometimes on my old stuff, on the Pop Slash or my X-Men fic.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Which makes, you know, I'm kind of embarrassed about like the quality of the writing and some of these. But, you know, apparently people still like it. So I'm like, oh yeah, cool. And thank you.
Yeah, and it must be, so now that you're saying that, I feel like I need to like dig up some of my old fic and like put it on there, because I also feel like for the older writers in fandom who some of these younger writers like probably look up to, you know, it's probably really satisfying to read their older mm-hmm. fic and see how much they've grown as a writer. And to just think like, wow, if I keep doing this, I'll grow just as much,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really cool thing.
But yeah, so those were the recommendations.
Those are like, yeah.
I'm very impressed that you still found them.
Oh God. I mean, but I feel like I can do way more digging. But I'm sad that I lost all of those links on Delicious, you know? I'm really flat.
Oh, God. Yeah.
That was the worst.
It hurts me.
Oh, that sucks. That really sucks.
Oh, yeah.
I remember having somewhere in the ballpark of like 500-something Monoboid links on there.
Oh.
500-something fix. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well.
So... So before we get completely maudlin,
I had such a good time. I'm glad it worked out. We'll see.
I'm not quite sure if I have to feel sorry for the listeners when I just got completely off track.
I think it was funny, and it was fun.
Yeah.
We're talking about RPF, so like,
yes,
you can't talk about RPF without talking about LOTR RPF, you know?
Yeah.
You just can't.
Yeah. No, definitely not. But so if people want to find you online, where can they do so?
I am on Tumblr, Stellar Bisexual, mm-hmm. and I am mm-hmm. on AO3, also Stellar Bisexual, and I've got... I've got a lot of RPF on there.
Ah.
a lot of RPF, but more recently, I have a ton of Ready from the mm-hmm. fandom. This is actually, I think, this is the first non-RPF pairing I've been really into in a long time.
Ooh.
So,
okay.
Yeah, I love this pairing. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Great. So, thank you again for saving my hide.
Thank you. This was such a joy.
I took a trip on a great big ship to a land across the sea, to a land across the sea.
This wraps up the 20th episode of the Shipping Podcast. Yay! I do hope you can forgive our excited ramblings and maybe even enjoyed them a little. If you want to continue your trip into fandom history, all things mentioned can be found in the show notes on shippingcast.fandomish.net. That's fandomish.net. Most even have links. As mentioned at the beginning, this is the last episode for a while as I'm taking a small hiatus. But never fear, I'll be back on October 11th when I'll be talking with Michaela about Enjolras and Grantaire from Les Misérables. As always, the episode will be released earlier for Patreon supporters, and I might also record another special episode during the hiatus, so just stay tuned.
You can follow and get in touch on Tumblr as ShippingCast, on Twitter as Shipping_cast, and you can email the podcast on the shippingcast@fandomish.net. I'd love to hear from you. Let me know what you think of the podcast and the ships we've been covering. You can find the podcast wherever podcasts are found. A full list is on shippingcast@fandomish.net/subscribe. As mentioned before, if you want to get the next episode the moment I finish it, at least one day early, you can become a supporter on patreon.com/shippingcast. This also has some other nice rewards, like extra episodes on other fandom topics. And that way you can help me pay for the necessary pro accounts for the podcast and keep me going. There's also the option to send me a one-time donation on ko-fi.com/shirazade or via PayPal to webmistress@shirazade.net. All these options are also described on shippingcast.fandomish.net/support. And you can help me totally for free by leaving reviews or simply spreading the word to other fans. I'm Shirazade, spelled S-H-I-R-A-S-A-D-E, and you can find me as such on Tumblr, AO3, YouTube, Pillowfort, Dreamwidth, and on shirazade.net. I've also joined Mastodon as shirazade@fandom.inc. The podcast artwork was created by the wonderful Little Zion. The music is Sailor Song by the Peerless Quartet. Thanks so much for listening, and remember, you are the captain of your ship.
And here's the story I promised you. Stella Bisexual and myself talking about Billy Boyd and Dominic Monaghan from Lord of the Rings. Yeah, I've met him a couple of times. So nice.
Oh, I went to, I'm very like, shy is the wrong word. Like paralyzed is more the word. Like if there's a celebrity that I like, I'm just like, I can't talk to them. Like that's not bad. Because I will say something stupid. And I, when his band Beecake, they did like an East tour. I was living in New York at the time, and my best friend was living in Philly, and they were going to both New York and Philly. So I went to the Philly show with my best friend, and then I went to New York and went to one of the New York shows 2 days later. I was one of those people.
Valid life choices.
Yes. And the Philly show, there was some like big game or something that night. So there was nobody there. It was a really tiny club. And there were like 15, 20 people there. Mm-hmm. And I very easily could have spoken to him like for a long time. Like there was just nobody. There was no, you know, there was a lot of Billy access that night. And I did not take the opportunity. That's how scared I am to like, talk to him. So, yeah. But I am jealous that you met
him. Now, I've met him a couple times at conventions because I volunteer at cons in Germany.
Yeah.
And I literally ran into him and Dom on the street.
What?
In Wellington.
Did you lose your mind?
Well, the thing is, I kind of been prepared because the day before, I ran into Dom on the loo in a national park. You know, we'd see him. He was there filming for his nature show.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
And there was no chance to approach or anything. But I needed to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And I opened the door and he'd forgotten to lock it.
What?
I mean, he was already washing his hands, but yeah, it was like, but you know, so there was no way I was going to say anything at that point.
Yeah, of course.
They were there for the premiere of the second or the third Hobbit movie.
Okay.
I can't quite remember which year it was.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. So the next day, as I was taking my last walk down, you know, because I love Wellington, I went there to uni for 2 semesters. Mm-hmm. As I was taking my last walk down the street, him and Billy come out, you know, just walk right by me. Oh, and I was like, oh my God, yay. And then their light turns red. So I don't even have to do anything embarrassing, like chase after them or something.
Right, yeah.
I'm just like, oh, hi. Can I take a picture with you guys?
Oh my
goodness. Yeah. Favorite photo ever.